Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken, with me as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, we're almost to training camp. We've got a little less than 2 weeks left.
Yeah, 13-day alert, I guess you could say.
For media day. So
the Bulls also have to report that day. In addition to the media reporting for duty, Chicago Bulls players will be expected to be in attendance September 25th at the Advocate Center. They do not practice that day. They start 2 days the next day on September 26th. But the big question, of course, is what is Dwayne Wade's situation? And he has told the Chicago Tribune's Casey Johnson, who was in Massachusetts for the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies and various festivities that honor many players and figures throughout the NBA. Casey was out there out east last weekend, and Dwayne Wade told him that his plan is to report for training camp. Now, I thought this was interesting because Dwayne Wade said nothing else to Casey, and this buyout question has been hanging over everyone's head ever since the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler on draft night. Speculation rampant externally about what the Bulls will do with Dwayne Wade, what Dwayne Wade wants the Bulls to do with him. Obviously, he's owed $24 million this year. The Bulls have said it would have to be advantageous for them to part ways with him in a buyout. But, like, Casey and others have spent, like, the whole summer chasing Dwayne Wade down for comment. Finally gets him in an environment where he has to comment.
Right.
Because there's an event going on that he's honored and Hall of Fame festivities. You just think that's the vibe. And the only thing he'll say is, I'll be at camp on day one. Like, it's kind of like writing on the wall, I don't want to be here long, is the immediate feel that I got just from reading that.
Well, it just, Cody, his comments didn't tell us anything that we didn't already know. I think everybody had kind of expected he's going to start the season in Chicago, and then by the middle of the season, around the trade deadline, or maybe before, maybe a little after, he's going to get bought out and join a contender. Like, I think that's just been the generally accepted consensus of what's going to happen this season. He didn't really say anything one way or the other. He didn't say, no, I'm committed to being in Chicago. I want to help mentor these young guys. I want to be a part of this rebuild. But he also didn't say, I want them to get me out of here right now. He said, as of right now, I'm going to be at training camp. And that's pretty much all he can really say at this point.
Yeah, and later I believe he told TNT's David Aldridge, not a lot more specifics, but he did say, there will be a time and place for the Bulls and myself, this is paraphrasing, to sit down. And I can handle the truth, and I think they can handle the truth and such. Like, we're grown men, you know what I mean? Like, to me, that again, just nudging, like, yeah, this is going to happen. To me, it's maybe a little sooner than even expected. You know what I mean? Like, some of this talk that we've had is, like, could it go close into February? You know, because the buyout deadline's March 1st to be eligible for a playoff team. But if you're not answering questions about if you'd even be willing to take a role of a mentor, which, look, he said before that he's okay with that, but that's when his friend and teammate, Jimmy Butler, was still a teammate. I should say friend Jimmy Butler was still a teammate. Jimmy Butler, it's easier to mentor when at least Jimmy's on the team. You know what I mean?
He also said at some point in the last week, in one of these Hall of Fame interviews, I wish I could give credit to who he said it to. I don't think it was Casey, it was to somebody. But he said that he does want to compete for another championship at some point in his career. And considering he's 35, he probably doesn't have too many years left to play. So that also points to, at some point in the season, he's probably going to ask for a buyout to join a contender, whether that's in Cleveland, whether that's somewhere else.
Yeah, and I, again, he was honored, Dwayne was honored for some community work out there, which he's done just a splendid job in. For his, what was it, 13 seasons in Miami? Is that number
13 in Miami? Yeah, plus no, the one in Chicago. He was very involved here too.
Here in Chicago, it's the Spotlight program, I believe, that he has here. Mm-hmm. That helps youth in educational programs for them and gives them opportunities to pursue the careers they want. But yeah, also at Hall of Fame weekend, of course, in what was a long overdue honor, and we've talked about this before, but the late Jerry Krause was formally inducted into the Hall of Fame. A lot of friends and family there for him, from everything I read and watched. We weren't there ourselves, obviously, but a good honor, a great honor for him. It's too bad, again, I think everyone's mentioned this, that he wasn't alive to see it. He always maintained, as Casey Johnson wrote, that the honor wasn't for him, but the scouts who put in all the work through the years, which is what he was at heart and for so many years, in building six championship Bulls teams.
Right, because, I mean, if you look at how those rosters were built, yes, he inherited Michael Jordan, he inherited having the greatest player of all time on his roster, but he scouted Central Arkansas to find Scottie Pippen, pulled off the trade to get him in the draft, drafted Horace Grant that same year, drafted Tony Kukoc when not everybody was scouting international players, did the trade for Dennis Rodman. Like, all these other pieces, outside of Jordan, he hired Phil Jackson, outside of having Jordan
Texas
already,
winners too, right?
Sure, yeah. Another, so outside of having Jordan already on the roster, every other move that that was made to build these championship teams, these legendary teams, was made by him. And I mean, I think it's, you know, I'm not the first person to say this. He should have been in the Hall of Fame long before now. It's really unfortunate that it happened after he passed away, so he couldn't have been there to enjoy it, because it would have meant a lot to him. And remember, if you go back, you should go back in the Locked On Bulls archives. We, around the time he passed away, we did an interview with Sam Smith, who has covered the Bulls the entire time.
One of our best episodes.
Sam was great. It's worth going back revisiting that episode now, because he tells a lot of great stories about covering Jerry Krause and getting to know Jerry Krause. I don't think anybody in Chicago media knew him better than Sam. So go back in our archives. Maybe I'll tweet out the link again on the Twitter account tonight. But go back and listen to that episode.
It's interesting to me. So much of a general manager's job, a scout's job, obviously, is identifying talent. But when you are in that executive role as president of basketball operations, as general manager, like, the coaching thing, that's something else to go find Phil Jackson. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's one thing to identify someone who's really good at basketball and thinking, how does he fit this system? I think he can fit here. This guy over here, like a Scottie Pippen, a Horace Grant, whatever, he might have limitations in this regard, but they can be covered up by these other guys I have. And I know Michael Jordan could do everything, basically, from the guard position. But to put that together, the playing puzzle is one thing. But to just go see that leadership in the basketball mind of someone who was spending time in the CBA, like Phil Jackson was, and then giving him opportunity as an assistant, and, you know, having the gall to move Doug Collins out and believe that Phil Jackson was the coach, like, that's a complete different skill set that not all executives can possess on a high level to hire coaching and hire or find really good talent.
And he was willing to take risks with some of his moves, too. You remember the deal that he made where he traded Charles Oakley for Bill Cartwright? Like, he was willing to risk pissing off Michael Jordan because Charles Oakley was Michael Jordan's boy. He hated that trade, but it turned out to be the right trade. And then, you know, he was just ahead of the curve on a lot of things. Not everybody had somebody scouting Central Arkansas who would have found Scottie Pippen. Not everybody had somebody scouting different international guys, so not everybody would have found Tony Kukoc. He put in the work and he did that. And, you know, it's a great, tremendous honor for him. Again, it's a shame that he wasn't alive to see it.
Want to let you know, our episode today is brought to you by SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. It's the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to these live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps find you the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing like seeing your favorite team or musician or artist up close and in person, and SeatGeek will get closer to the action for a great value. I have a SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. You can be anywhere, anytime, with just a few clicks. Instantly find the seats that you love. I actually just used SeatGeek tickets to buy tickets for the Zach Brown Band concert a couple weeks ago. It was tremendous. We've used it for you two this summer. Might as well just recap our summer concert series and such. What else did you use it for?
I used it for Roger Waters a couple months ago. I don't have anything really coming up.
We'll have to keep our head on a swivel. But again, it's really simple. See everyone. And it's great because it's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. You also get the most bang for your buck because SeatGeek grades every ticket based on a value and helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. You can also shop full confidence with SeatGeek because it's fully guaranteed. So make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals in every type of ticket, from sports to concerts to comedy to theater. What we need Locked On Bulls listeners to do, listen closely. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONBA today, just how it sounds, LONBA, and SeatGeek will give you $20 off your first purchase through them. So download the SeatGeek app today.
Hard Sean, Bulls news.
Hard Bulls news first. Okay.
Cameron Payne.
Cameron Payne.
We talked last week about the news that he was going to have surgery on that foot, which is the same foot that he has injured before. He's had two surgeries on that foot already. Had another one. He is now going to be out
3 to 4 months.
3 to 4 months, which would put him December or January. Do you think he ever plays another game for the Bulls? Because I kind of think he doesn't.
I don't know. It's a good question.
At this point, there's no way they consider him a part of their long-term plans. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they didn't pick up his fourth-year option. I think the deadline for that is October 15th.
Yeah, and by then you're going to give... That's a good point. Well, that's the other thing. I'm going to say no on that because here, I also don't think that this is just necessarily 3 to 4 months. So the news first came out and the timeline was late November, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And already he's had the surgery now. And if that was first week of September, 3 or 4 months from there is early December or early January. By then, if you're in a groove... This is assuming everything goes right health-wise for him. By then, though, if you're in a groove with the point guard situation and, like, Chris Dunn is showing progress, you don't want to stunt his growth. You know what I mean? There's nothing more important for the Bulls at the point guard position than getting Chris Dunn to show development. You know what I mean? And I think in the first 3 or 4 months, he's going to have the opportunity to find a rhythm, and I think he's going to find some sort of rhythm. So to throw Payne in there is weird to me, to steal any minutes from Dunn, which I'm not saying that like Payne was going to steal minutes from Dunn anyway and have the starting job. No way that was a chance, even if he was fully healthy.
But they have other guys. David Nwaba is a guy they like.
Jaren Grant is a guy that like...
Denzel Valentine they still think can be a ball handler. Zach LaVine, once he's healthy, can play some points.
I just think we know he's not part of the future, even though he's so young. 22, I think.
Well, we know that he's not good.
Yes. So, like, there's going to be a lot of things that happen before he can even take the basketball court again. And I think there are going to be aspects that are really important, these development of these young guys. 3 or 4 months is a long chunk of time. You know what I mean? I guess 2 or 3 of those months is more the game action part. But that's a process in which is really important for the Bulls. So I'm actually going to say no. That's a good point. I mean, what do you say?
I'm kind of inclined to agree with you on that, because by the time he's healthy, let's say it's 4 months. That's January. That's a month before the trade deadline. Maybe they use his salary to fill out some, you know, salary. If they've declined his option, it's an expiring contract. They can use that to get somebody's long-term contract in order to take on a draft pick or something. But then if they can't find it, it's the same thing I talked about last week with that Quincy Pondexter thing. I think they're going to keep him on the roster basically to use as salary filler. And then if they can't trade him by the deadline, they might just cut him.
There's the other aspect of this. They have 14 players now, am I right? Or I don't know. I think it's 14. 14? If Nico resigns, it'll be 15.
We want to do Nico watch real quick. Oh, we got to do Nico
math
watch.
Math is hard, though. Math is hard. 74?
74. 31 days in July, 31 days in August. Today's September 12th. 74 days, no deal for Nico.
The Nico Mirotić Chicago Bulls contract standoff, day 74.
And this has been this week's installment of Nico Watch. We're going to introduce another segment.
So you can have... Yeah, we will. You can have 13 players be active.
Uh-huh.
Cameron Payne, even fully healthy, is probably not one of the Bulls' 13 best players.
No.
So even if everyone else is healthy, he could just be a healthy scratch and inactive. You know what I mean? Like, and I guess by then, Dwayne Wade will probably not be healthy or be
not on the team
roster. But, like, Zach LaVine will be back by then. So, yeah, theoretically everyone could be healthy. But the other thing is, this is the fifth metatarsal on his foot. And
this is the same bone he's already broken.
Yeah, like
times.
This is like the worst foot injury you can have. And he's had three serious problems with it now. I don't trust that 3 or 4 months is even a proper timeline. It could be 5 months, which takes you into like February or something. And no, I wouldn't be surprised at all. If I had to bet one way or the other, I would almost probably, yeah, just go no. I mean, so it is what it is. And I mean, the only reason the Bulls would need to play Cameron Payne would be to help their chances of tanking. But now, yeah, they might have less incentive to tank that hard.
Yeah, there's been some stuff lately. Woj had a report on ESPN about lottery reform. That's a thing the league is trying to push. Now, according to the Woj report, it wouldn't, if this lottery reform, which makes it, because like right now the current system is the team with the worst record in the league has a 25% chance of getting the number one pick, and then it goes down slightly from there.
19.9% sure. chance, and then 15.5% chance.
I think the
top three.
The system that the league is proposing, that the Board of Governors the competition committee is going to vote on, is that the top three worst records, each of those teams would have a 14% chance.
This is a significant flattening of lottery chances. This proposal, which would need to go to the NBA competition committee to basically have arguments and decide if they want to bring it to the NBA's Board of Governors, which later in September could vote on it. Then you need 3/4 majority to pass something like this. So I think that would be 23 of the 30 NBA owners or representatives of the owners would have to vote for this. They had something along these lines, I believe, in 2014 in a very similar lottery reform. And they got 17 votes. I believe Sam Presti and the Oklahoma City Thunder were big influences in saying no and rallying a lot of small market and mid-market teams to say, hey, this is a bad idea because it's going to only get harder to get stars and keep stars in your small markets. Like, even though Sam Presti had 2 stars at that moment in time in KD and Russell Westbrook, like, I think he knew what was coming. So he rallied them. So, I mean, even if it goes to the NBA owners, I think it would be a 50-50 toss-up still. I still think that. I think owners and NBA officials and fans are probably more disgusted with tanking now than they were 3 years ago. Is that a fair assessment?
Just because we've already gone through the whole, you know, public debate for several years of the Sixers doing the process and all this other stuff, you know, it's kind of been in the public conversation for more time than it had been before.
It only takes 8 small market and mid-market teams to stop it, though. So, like, you got to keep that in mind. And as it pertains to the Bulls, like, this is bad news for the Bulls. I don't think it's horrendous news, but it's not good news.
It's worth pointing out that according to Woj's report, yes, if this does pass, it wouldn't be implemented until 2019 at the earliest. So this coming season, it's not going to change anything about their plans.
Yes. So they would have exactly what they're hoping for is to be bad and have a 25% shot at the number one pick or have the worst record and fall to fourth at worst in the lottery mathematically. If you have the worst record, you're probably, even if you get bumped down one spot, you're probably not getting bumped down 3 spots. You get the second or third pick. But another significant part of this proposed lottery reform is the fact that the top 4 lottery spots would be decided by ping pong balls instead of the top 3. So potentially you could have the worst record and have a 14% chance at getting the number 1 pick or number 2 pick, so on down the line, but get bumped all the way back to 5th. You know what I'm saying? So for the Bulls, it's a time in which they're purposely tanking. And now all of a sudden, they could be looking at in 2019, and we've said this all along. You and I have both emphasized this. I know I've emphasized this. Some people are talking like, can the Bulls be back in the playoffs? Can they be Eastern Conference final contenders in a few years? Like, I've said I think this is going to take a long time. Like, I think you're looking at a 5-year rebuild until you're competing at a really high level, because this isn't something where you get 1 or 2 good young guys and then you go out and get 2 free agent studs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm seeing the Bulls wanting to draft a guy like Michael Porter, Luka Doncic, and have them on the same age plane as Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, let them develop together, have that foundation, and then spend the big money on a big name, not next summer, but several summers from now, who slots in well. And even after you do that, given those age range and such, like, it's not like 25-year-old Zach LaVine and 20-year-old Luka Doncic and 20 or 21-year-old Michael Porter are going to lead your team to the NBA Finals. Like, the winning window is years down the line here for a championship, even if you do add a huge free agent. So, like, this matters because the 2019 draft, like, this is a two-part plan at first for the Bulls. It's like, be really bad this year, be really bad next year, have a top three pick both times. Now, the second time, if you only have a 14% chance in 2019, even if you have the worst record, to get the top pick, now all of a sudden, let's say, I don't know anything about the 2019 draft right now, I haven't focused that far in advance, but it's going to be hard-pressed to match the top four or five talent in the 2018 draft now that Marvin Bagley has reclassified. So you're looking at, like, the Bulls' 2019 plan could have been be awful again, get the number two pick in a two-person draft. You know what I mean? Now all of a sudden your plan could be awful and the mathematical odds are changed and boom, now you have the number four or five pick in the 2019 draft and you're just drafting a dude who, I don't know.
Might end up being a
rotation guy, a starter who can shoot.
More of a Lauri Markkanen than a Markelle Fultz.
Yeah. I mean, hell, the way Lauri Markkanen's been playing, like, you can get him at number five in the 2019 draft. You're all over him. I guess we should throw in the Markkanen update. He and Finland got eliminated from Eurobasket over the weekend in the round of 16 by Italy. Were we supposed to say they got eliminated by Marco Bellinelli because he made a bunch of three-pointers?
Bulls legend Marco Bellinelli.
Yep. Future Bulls legend Lauri Markkanen getting eliminated by former Bulls legend Marco Bellinelli. But he only had 4 points, I think, in the round of 16, so non-factor in that game. Finland didn't play well, but like,
still an impressive showing for him overall in the tournament.
Five brilliant games in the tournament, and then one dud against a team that was probably better than Finland, as well as Finland played. They were still a little bit over their head, over their sails probably a little bit. But back to lottery reform, the other thing we need to add too is that this isn't part of the main proposal for certain, but this has also been discussed and could move into the floor for voting, and that would be you can't have top three picks in consecutive years. So you land a top three pick, those three teams, let's say it's, I don't know, who are the three worst teams? Kings, Hawks, and Bulls next year. If we were under the proposed rules immediately right now as we speak, they could not have the top pick again in 2019. Now, I think the way they would implement it is if 2018 isn't part of the new era, the new lottery reform, I think the Bulls could probably have a top
three
pick again.
They'd probably be grandfathered in.
Yeah, because I don't think you punish those three teams who just happen to be the final three teams in the old system before the new system's implemented. That hasn't been clarified yet, but that would be my inkling. But again, like, the Bulls, you're looking at lottery 18, 19, and 20. If that part goes through, you get the number three pick in 2019.
You can't get it in 2020.
You can't get a top three pick in 2020. So this is a massive proposal by the NBA.
Yeah. Look,
NBA implemented the lottery in 1985 after everyone tanked for Akeem Olajuwon, I believe. Was
yeah.
he Akeem?
It was Akeem. There was no
Akeem.
Age yet.
Yeah. Everyone tanked for Olajuwon in 1984, like to just embarrassing degrees. And Stefan Noah wrote about this at The Athletic and pulled up some old quotes, too, from those who were involved. And apparently it was pretty embarrassing for the NBA, even though there's no Twitter. I can't believe that they were embarrassed in a non-Twitter era before social media, but it was, like, that bad, apparently. So
and then the next year was the Patrick Ewing draft, and so they did have the lottery.
Yeah, but that's when all the teams the first few years had equal chances to get it. You know what I mean?
Well, what the system was before they implemented the lottery was the teams with the one and two worst records.
Automatically.
They do a coin flip.
Oh, okay. And then it went,
and then it
from
went and
downward
went.
Record.
So it was just, they would just flip a coin for the first and second.
Okay, got you. But, yeah, so, I mean, lottery's been toyed with. The odds through the years have been toyed with. And, I mean, I guess another big part about this, like, I know this is a lot of math here, but we said the first three teams in the proposal would have 14% odds. It's an incremental decrease from there. It's not like the number four team only has a 6% chance. Like, you're looking at the number four team, fourth worst team in the NBA, having 13%, and then the fifth worst team having 12. Like, it's really close and bunched up. So you could conceivably, obviously, have a lot of teams that are borderline playoff teams even.
Especially
at that
in the
point,
East.
Or, yeah, in the East. Or, I mean, you can have a good team and miss the playoffs in the West because maybe it's loaded or something, and all of a sudden you hop up in the lottery and have a real stud on your team, and maybe you're a young, burgeoning team or something before. So it could really change the paradigm and calculus of the NBA. Do you like this, or do you hate it?
I lean against changing the current system, because I feel like, I mean, it's been proven that the really, with the exception of like the 04 Pistons and like one or two other teams throughout history, in order to win a championship, you have to have at least one and probably two superstar level players. And unless you're, you know, are able to do the things to get multiple of those guys, like, you know, Kevin, like the Warriors creating this cap space to get Durant, the Heat doing what they did to get LeBron and Wade and Bosch in 2010, the way to get one of those guys is by drafting them. And if you're one of these small market teams where you're not going to be a big free agent destination, you have to be able to do whatever you can to put yourself in the position to get one of those guys. And the way to do that is to be bad and get one of those guys in the lottery.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You don't like the reform?
I don't like the reform as it is. And, well, I completely understand it. I don't like the incremental decrease that I just described. Because, personally, first of all, I don't like tanking. I don't think any of us like tanking. Was it the Sixers I blew up on last year when they trotted out hot garbage on the final night of the regular season against the Bulls?
No, it was Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. I knew it was some teams that were really bad at the end of the year. The Nets. I mean, that was garbage.
The Nets didn't even have their own pick. They were just decided
yeah,
to mail
so
it in.
So, the incremental part, I gotta think through this. I don't like the idea of small market teams getting unlucky all of a sudden and being legitimately bad. Maybe not even purposely tanking, just by circumstance and what's happened before.
I don't think the Magic are tanking. I think they're trying to be good. They just are a terribly built roster.
They just stink. Yeah, like, the incremental part of it comes in the sense that if you're only going to be separated by 14 or 13% or 7 or 8% in your slots, as the odds are, you're not going to go all out to lose late in the year, whereas now you can jump 5 or 6%. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just by moving a couple or one slot even, or a couple, whatever it is, like, go 0-10 and go from 8th worst to 5th worst team, and all of a sudden, you know, 12% better shot. Whatever. Like, so, I understand the incremental part of it, but I just feel like if you're one of the three worst teams in the NBA, you should have more than a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. So, if you want to keep the incremental part at some point in that equation of 1 through 14 lottery teams, I'm okay. But can we bump up at least the start a little more? I know, again, then you create other problems too, because then it's like if the three worst teams are really bad, everyone's going to tank so hard to just be top three. You
right.
know what I mean? So there's no good solution, but I really feel for the small markets here. Like, I don't like what happened in Oklahoma City, okay? Like, they did everything on earth they could do to keep Kevin Durant. They drafted correctly, built a team around him, got a second superstar. I mean, he was a pillar of the community. They had as much money as they could possibly offer him. Made trades. I know they screwed the James Harden trade up too, but like, it was made with the thought in mind, partially the luxury tax and everything, but also, you know, that they'd have the flexibility to get the guys they needed around Kevin Durant. Like, they did everything right under the old way. And, I mean, they just basically got
left kicked
between the legs.
Same thing happened to Utah this summer. They built everything the right way. They built a good team around Gordon Hayward. He still left.
So now, a team like that, you're going to look them in the eye and say, oh, it's going to be even harder. These guys already are leaving in free agency and don't want to be traded to you already. And I know they just got Paul George, but Paul George is leaving in a year. Remember that. He's leaving Oklahoma City in a year. For LA, which he and his agent have already apparently told everybody. Like, you're going to look these guys, these owners, these fans, these team officials in the eye and be like, we're just making it even harder for you to compete at the highest level. Like, I wanted Durant to go back to Oklahoma City because I thought that seven-game series against the Warriors in 2016 was just brilliant basketball. Like, I thought we had a burgeoning rivalry there, two teams playing at the highest level in the Western Conference. And look, Kevin Durant had the right to go to the Warriors. It's fun watching them play basketball, and he deserves to win a championship, deserves to do what he did. But I don't like it. Like, I wanted him to stay in Oklahoma City and have that rivalry going on. And now you're just going to make it easier for just a select few of top teams. Like, maybe in the long run, like, this helps the Bulls a little bit because they are one of the select few big markets. And I know Devil's Advocate here would say, well, when's the last time they got a huge free agent? You know what I mean? So I get that. But, like, again, theoretically, if they set up the rest of the team correctly and have young talent and the money, like, good guys will come to Chicago. You know what I mean? At some point, this is going to happen. And Carmelo Anthony probably wouldn't have worked out for the Bulls either. Like, I mean, the biggest fish we always point at, right? Like, they missed LeBron. Obviously, everyone wanted him. But you point at, like, the Bulls missed this person, that person. Like, they missed Carmelo. Like, that's a big deal in saying the Bulls can never get a free agent. Like, when we think about it, at least in the Gar Pax sense, people, they didn't get Carmelo. I don't know if you really would have wanted Carmelo past that first year of the contract.
I think I would have rather had Carmelo than what they ended up doing, which was signing Powell and just kind of having that weird team that never really fit together. And
yeah, I don't know that Carmelo's team would have fit together either. But you do. I agree. You always err on the side of talent.
Right, I was now on the team at the time that thought that getting Carmelo would have been a good fit. I certainly think now I wouldn't want him, but at the time in 2014, I think that would have been a good move.
But like, to not re-legislate that. And speaking of former Bulls stars now who have moved on to other situations, we have a new segment to debut.
Yeah, this is your segment. This is your baby.
Locked on Timberwolves.
You brainstormed this.
Locked on Timberwolves.
Tell them.
We're going to, every, you know, since this Bulls team, you know, over the course of the season, we know they're going to be really bad. There's only going to be so much, like, game analysis we can be had of games, of a team where we know is going to win, like, 25 games or whatever over the course of the season. We're going to keep you guys updated on what the Timberwolves are up to. The Jimmy Butler, Tom Thibodeau, Taj Gibson, Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to just have that be a recurring segment, Locked on Timberwolves. Sponsors, if anyone wants to have it be Locked on Timberwolves presented by your
Minneapolis game, sponsors, get at us. Get at us.
Anybody else or just any Chicago businesses that miss Jimmy
Butler?
Tell
them the big news on this one.
Darren Wolfson, who's one reporter for the ESPN radio station in Minneapolis, who's about as plugged in as anybody on most of the local teams there. He reported the other day that Kirk Heinrich has been spotted working out at the Mayo Clinic courts. Could there be a reunion?
Is Mayo Clinic courts their practice facility?
Yes.
Their advocate center?
Yes, it is.
Well, was Tibbs in the building? He's always, trick question, he's always in the building.
Tibbs is always
right?
in the building.
Trick question, he's always in the building. Kirk was working out. Oh my, this is actually going to happen?
We'll see. I mean,
is this actually going to happen?
They've been bringing other guys in.
Where does Kirk live? That's the question.
Probably Iowa.
So he's originally from Sioux City?
He's an Ames Mafia guy.
No.
Ames Mafia, like the geographic stretch, it's
a really long drive from Ames to Sioux.
We're grandfathering him in.
Sioux City, just so you know. But, I mean, is this actually going to happen? Like, at some point in this season, are we going to see the Wolves trot out Carl Anthony Towns will be out there, but then trot out, like, Taj, Jimmy, Kirk Heinrich, and they'll need a backup point guard after someone gets
hurt. Is Aaron Brooks on
sign? They'll sign Mike James or Aaron Brooks or something.
Ronnie Brewer.
Oh, Ronnie Brewer. Who else?
Is Nate Robinson?
Who are their other
major
point guards? Yeah. Nate Robinson. They had DJ Augustine. Who are we missing? Lucas? John Lucas?
John Lucas still unsigned. Jimmer is in China.
Oh, Jimmer. No, Tibbs didn't like Jimmer.
Tibbs didn't like
Jimmer. That was like a month-long thing where they're like, oh, my, everyone's hurt. We can't... There's no one to take the shots. Jimmer just has to fire him up.
Yeah.
So we could have it. What's the other Timberwolves news? Oh, former Bulls just working out.
Bunch of former Bulls. Jimmy, Taj, Noah, Tony Snell, all working out together on Instagram.
Tony Snell.
Tony Snell.
Just hanging out with Jimmy Butler.
Hey, Tony Snell got paid. He's part of the club now.
4 years, $45 million
or
something. That
yeah.
gets you part of the club.
Yeah.
That's all. Wait. What was it? What exactly was Tony Snell's contract? Was it 4 and 44? 4 and 45?
46.
46. That's $2 million more than the Bulls offered in October 2014. 4 years and $44 million for Jimmy Butler to return, and he turned him down. and then went out and won Most Improved Player, I think, and then signed his max extension.
I saw Tony in Vegas last month, or not last month, 2 months ago at Summer League. He was loving life. He got paid.
Yeah?
Yes.
What does Tony Snell loving life mean? He actually smiled?
Yes.
Or did you see him, like, at the club or something?
No, I saw he was sitting courtside watching the Bucks Summer League team. I went up, said hi to him, I told him congrats on the new deal. He was in a good mood. He was smiling. He seemed happy to see me.
Did he have new bling on or something?
I don't know.
Clearly really expensive. Like,
no, I think
Tony Snell's been loving life since the day he got in the NBA. I just think he has more money now.
I mean, give Tony Snell credit. He was awful for his 3 years in Chicago. He improved last year. He deserved that contract he got.
Yeah, we should start totally meaningless debate segments. Does Tony Snell getting a 4 year, $46 million contract mean he has to say more than 12 words to the media in post-game interviews? Gotta be a leader. Gotta be a leader, right?
I don't know. Makes you think.
I think Giannis has that under control up there, and Tony can just play D and shoot three-pointers. But yeah, I think that about wraps it up for Locked On Bulls. I don't think we missed anything. A lot of odds and ends, I guess. But hey, this lottery reform thing could be a really big deal.
Yeah.
It could be a really big deal. Again, like, if the Bulls just get a stud in 2018 and draft another good player in 2019, I don't think it affects them a whole lot as far as the timeline of the rebuild. But like, if you somehow end up number five in a 3 or 4 person draft when otherwise you're hoping to be top three, like that could really bite them come the years moving forward. So follow Sean on Twitter at Hike and myself at Cody Westerlin. Lockdown Bulls is on Twitter and Facebook by its name. We're not sure when we're going to do our next episode.
Send us
questions so we'll be ready for you.
Oh, another pre-announcement. At some point next week, we're going to do our second annual Bold Predictions episode.
Yeah.
So send those in, too.
Other than the episodes where Derrick Rose gets traded, Jimmy Butler gets traded, and Sam Smith joins the podcast, I think it's probably our favorite annual tradition.
Yeah, well, we'll see where Locked On Timber Bulls ranks by the end of the year.
Yeah, we certainly will.
Nico Watch is climbing up there.
Yeah. We'll have Nico Watch for you. As soon as we can, though. But follow us on Twitter, and most of all, subscribe to the podcast. Where they find us?
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Go on there, subscribe. Go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends, subscribe. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to advertise with us, we would love to take on more sponsors. Shout out to SeatGeek sponsoring us, sponsoring the whole Locked On Podcast Network consistently. But we'd love to get more sponsors. Any inquiries there, you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. We will be back with you guys soon. In the meantime, thanks for listening.